put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build a world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to BYO Blanket. Here is your 1 minute of scheduled banter before we get into the topic. We're here with Nancy. Hi, Nance.
Hi,
Nance.
Everyone. Hi, Maria. Hi, Janon.
Hi,
Edgar.
Hi. Oh,
hi,
yeah.
Gabrielle.
It's a full room here.
All the animals. And it just smells so good in here. What kind of candle is this?
Also, Maria's wearing her new perfume that I got her.
Cedar Magnolia.
Cedar Magnolia. It smells fallish. It smells fresh.
That smells good.
What's the new perfume?
Which one's this one?
I can't remember what it's called. It's in a purple box.
Yeah.
It's not a design. It's not like Dolce & Gabbana or anything like that. It's
just yummy.
Wait, is it Dolce or Dulce?
I think it's Dolce.
Dolce.
It is Dolce.
Good. Italian.
Okay.
Dolce.
I have no idea how to pronounce my cologne's name. Hermes.
I know. And I always think I know how to say it on the, I say it however I say it in my head. And then it comes time to say it out loud. And I'm like,
Hermes. Like a noise.
Right. So I am when I order a bottle of wine in a restaurant I don't know how to say. I'm like, I'll have the best.
Yeah.
This one?
I'll have the fourth down.
Yeah.
This number one? 17. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's been 1 minute of banter.
All right.
Listeners, welcome to our episode.
Yes, we got Nancy Perry back in the studio. Back in the actual studio, too. Not just on Zoom.
Yeah. This is awesome. And it's a new studio since last time I've been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are not in a blanket for it. Sorry to disappoint. This new house is just challenging to, like, build one in yet.
This is also my office.
Yeah.
And I get to be on video.
Business
for calls.
Office.
Yeah.
It would be cool to, at some point, put, like, some sort of hooks or something on the walls and, like, put up a pretty...
You know what? Mario. I bet that would add to the resale value. Listeners, if you hear strange noises, the cats are going insane. Because we're recording after they've eaten their breakfast and they usually, like, run it off. Anyway. So we're talking about the power of language today, which is an exciting topic because it basically is... our whole life.
Everything.
It's the coolest thing to consider and something that a lot of folks never consider.
Yeah, which is why, I mean, we're never taught to consider it. And it's how we do and create everything.
It's like if a fish suddenly was like, whoa, I'm in water.
Right.
Like, well, fish don't do that.
Yeah, there's a quote. I forgot who said it. It says something along the lines of, like, language doesn't just describe the world, it also describes the worldview or our worldview.
Yeah. If you want to know someone's worldview, you just got to listen to them for a few moments or a few minutes.
Yeah.
So what we're wanting you listeners to be left with is the first word was that I mentioned, power, like the power of crafting your language in a way that is uplifting to your life, creative in your life. And Nancy Perry, I think, is an expert at that. So that's why we have her talking about this topic in particular. I had a really good question for you that we can kick things off with. It's kind of out of right field.
I'm ready.
Is that how you say that phrase?
I don't understand.
It's out of
that
left
analogy.
Field?
It's left
it
or right.
Out of left field. But I always think it would come towards left field. And I guess if I was like a baseball player, if it was coming out of left field, that would be surprising. right? Rather than towards left field, I'd be like, this is predictable.
Oh, yeah.
It's out of left field. It's surprising. It's exciting. And I'm ready.
Got it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm sitting at first base. The batter hits the ball, and then it comes from behind me.
Out of left field. Like,
oh, that, yes.
Whoa,
surprising.
See, the power of language. We got to figure out what this, this saying. Listeners, let us know.
Yes.
Google it. I know you're Googling it right now.
Okay. Here's a question. We as yoga instructors, Om. Can you talk about Om and its place in the power of language, the power of word? Why is something that we can, like a practice that we continue to do, even in the United States where we don't speak Sanskrit?
Sure, I'll share my perspective. I am not certain of that this answer would be true for everyone, or that I even have like the quote unquote correct answer. And one of the reasons that I choose to bring that practice forward and that specific word and sound forward. Well, Sanskrit's super cool. I am just a novice when it comes to Sanskrit, like a total novice. I feel like totally uncomfortable even, you know, it's like saying croissant, like saying tardasana instead of tadasana. It's just, I feel like embarrassed. I'm like, and I'm working to transform my relationship with that. And anyhow, I'm a novice. I'm a novice when it comes to Sanskrit. And Om is very powerful because of what it represents. So it represents the beginning, it represents the middle, it represents the end. And, you know, all the, you know, there's the beginning and the middle, the end of everything. We're always in the beginning, we're always in the middle, we're always in an end. And one of the reasons that Sanskrit is so powerful, and this is why the words and language are so powerful, is because they are, well, in Sanskrit in particular, it is a language that is deeply rooted in spirituality and vibration. And all language really is vibrational. And Sanskrit is spoken and practiced and taught with that specific intentionality. English, you don't learn English with the intention of communing with the divine. Mm-hmm. Sanskrit is taught with the intention of communing with the divine, and was divined or created. That whole language was divined or created with the intention of communing with the divine. So the beginning and the middle and the end in the Om, O-M, or A-U-M, is the God energy of the beginning, the God energy of the middle, the sustained, and the God energy of the end. And it's just this beautiful cycle. And everything spiritual is in a circle or a cycle. It's a very sacred geometry. So I just think it's that's what yoga is. It's the beginning, it's the middle, the end. We are all a particle and wave, as my teacher would say, in, you know, the frequency of time, like light. We're all, and that's, you know, what we'll also begin or really end a class with, at big at least, is namaste. And there's many different translations of that. And nam, as far as I know, you know, edify, don't quote me, just Google to find out, is that nam really means that the root of that word is reverence. And that there's a reverence in me that I revere that same light in you. Okay, again, light. I was like, where was I going with that? Light. So a particle and a wave. And, you know, me and my particular, peculiar Nancy-ness, like I've got my brown sweatshirt, my blonde hair, you know, I'm 5'1". You know, Maria's got her beautiful curly hair with her cute little dog and her awesome wife. Like, we've all got our particle that we exist at in the now. And then there's the wave and the vibration of who we are before we are in this human body. And after we leave this human body, that is the wave. And there's the beginning and the middle of the end. We're just always in some place in that wave that's also never ending. I don't know if I answered your question at all. That's one of the reasons that Om is so powerful. And it's just in the sound. And it's just a nod to everything.
What I heard you say in that is like there's also this connection to the culture and the philosophy and the history of this like ancient practice. It's not just this like super cool thing that everybody does. Let's go to yoga. It's like, no, it's like rooted in some like deep philosophy. It's like rooted into something a lot bigger than let's just go to yoga on Sunday.
Yes.
Or Friday.
Yeah, whatever. It takes it from
or 45-minute lunch class.
Yes,
it love a good 45-minute flow.
Om has it be not gymnastics. Yes. Has it be the unifying practice that we do to remember we're not just separate things.
And what an elegant word, may I just, you know, like Om? The vastness of like the vastness of it, and it's just so subtle, so simple, so like just there. It's,
yeah, and each part is equal. The it's all equal.
And then the silence at the end. And
pause. The sound of silence. And so beautiful to be in a room of folks and to hear it and to feel it. It is vibrational. You feel
a
it.
Good Om does have a good like yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you ask how someone felt before an Om and then after a really good like 60 people, you know, all in the same key Om, they would be like, I feel better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the power of language. It can be healing.
Mm-hmm. We were speaking with Raghunath Kapo last weekend in our training about sound and how it folks don't realize that there is so much power in it, so much healing available in it. And it's as simple as, like, if I spent my time walking around complaining, gossiping, just saying, you know, bad things or listening to bad things, mm-hmm. that becomes just like I'm swimming in a soup of it, and I won't even realize that it's a
bad soup.
It's like making me feel separate, small, holding me down. And then he had us do an exercise where we just sat with a partner and just talked behind someone's back complimenting them.
Oh, that's cool. That's so fun.
Yeah.
And you felt better.
Yeah. And so we did that for like 5 minutes each. So a long time, you just like went around the room and you're like, Nancy over there, she's just like the most powerful person I know. And after it was all done, we just were like, wow, let's just all go hang out together. It's just like this feeling of unifying love and each individual person. Just like body sensations. We all were sitting up taller, could breathe more easily. It was really, really cool to experience.
Yeah, you were a different physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the loving kindness meditation is so powerful too.
Yes.
Where you consciously wish wonderful things. Even for your worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it works. Like, if you think about the brain, like, mirror neurons don't distinguish the difference between actual reality, what's happening now, and your thoughts and your dreams. Exactly. And stuff. Like, you can have that physical sensation. And this is what actors do, right? Like, that physical sensation of, like, being angry, for example. And, like, you can really embody that by just thinking about something that makes you mad.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that anything happening now made you mad, other than just your thoughts. So it makes sense that if you listen, and this is why I usually avoid listening to music that's too angry or too sad or too something, just because I don't want to be just like in
that. You don't want to feel terrible?
I don't. Exactly. Yeah. I like, exactly. You know, like, especially when that song gets stuck. I mean, it happens to me all the time. The song gets stuck in my head, and then I have that one phrase, right? And it's just like repeating, and I'm singing it, and I'm saying it, and I'm like, why? No.
So I shouldn't karaoke My Chemical Romance anymore.
I mean, listen, I started doing it. And that's why I think, that's why I said not always. Because I just started singing My Chemical Romance.
Okay. And it's why Megan Janon's so happy.
It did. She, like, I didn't tell her I was doing it. I just picked a song. And she was like, oh, wait, are you doing it?
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was very shocking to her.
So cute. That's a good wife move.
It was. She was impressed.
Wait, where did you start talking about karaoke?
Why did we music?
Oh, yeah.
Lyrics. And it's everything. Yes. Every sound that we hear. So it's not only the power of our own language, it's the power of the language that's in our environments. That's why it's so important to be aware of it. Because when we're aware of it, we can, you know, have some, just some say over how much it impacts us.
Mm-hmm.
But the, so yes. We'll listen to the news. We'll listen to gossip. We'll listen to other people complaining. You can walk into a negative workspace, a negative family environment. And when you're just like, God, wow, you know, it can just impact you so negatively. Yeah, if you're aware that it's impacting you negatively, there's just many different things that you can do. So in addition to just being mindful about how you speak, so if I'm listening to someone who's complaining, I've used this quote so many times this week. It's from Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec. She goes, when I hear people yelling at me, I just hear them caring loudly. Right? So when we can really understand this person's talking about this because it matters to them. Right? Like, this person's complaining about, what's something that I've complained about recently? Or, you know, like, even this morning. So, like, on my way, coming here to record this podcast, I was running late because the person that was coming to watch the kids was running late. And so I was like just in my head kind of complaining about the whole thing because it matters to me to be on time. And that's like all I can just be like, oh, I'm complaining about this thing. What's my commitment? Oh, my commitment is to respect people's time and be on time and follow through and have integrity. And then I can just relate to myself in that way rather than getting stuck in the complaint. So understanding that people are always in communication about what's important to them, whether they're skilled in it or not, mm-hmm. is a really great way to be in creation in your life and then being co-creation with other people.
Yeah. I mean, because there's no way I'm going to shield myself from never hearing a negative thing forever. You know, I can do my best and like not hanging around a bunch of negative crowd people.
Right.
So if I can like put a filter in my ears that then like recreates the sound as, oh, actually it is coming from a great place, then that has, that can like, you know, transform what could have been a damaging sound to a healing sound for me, which is really cool. The power of language in my own head.
Yes.
Like what I say about what other people say. That's really cool.
You know, it's also, this just made me think of what I was actually thinking about when I was showering this morning. I know, hashtag shower thoughts. So I woke up this morning and I was like, Janan, I don't get how language like relates to yoga philosophy. And this is pre-coffee. This is pre-coffee.
Yeah.
Thanks, coffee.
Yeah.
And a great place to start.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, I don't get it.
I was like, I don't get it. So then we talked a little bit about it. I had coffee, had breakfast, you know, was in the shower and I was like, wait, language is important. I mean, obviously, right? And language is like, our brains are just so logical. In the way we structure things, in the way we think, in the way we, even how language is comprised. Like we, you know, there's like a certain order in which words need to be placed in order to convey certain messages. And language really does give that structure for us to be able to explain things that are almost inexplicable.
Yes.
Like anger, right? Yes. Anger can look so differently, depends on the situation, depends on that relationship to that situation, the impact that had, like the timing of it, everything, right? Like you can be angry, I don't know if you were angry. I'm just using the same example, you know, that the babysitter was late. You could be angry and that anger might be different than if someone like burns down the studio.
Yeah. You know,
like it's so different, yet it's the same word, probably very similar experience, yet like the level of it, it's so different. And our brains need that organization.
Absolutely.
In order to be effective in communicating.
You're saying how this had to do with yoga?
Yes. So how does this have to do with yoga? Because yoga, one of the things that yoga is huge on is like the self-study.
Yes, absolutely.
And how do you self-study if you cannot really explain what is it that's happening to you? What is it that you're thinking about? What is it that you want? Like, in order to be able to study the self, you need to have these like containers for things.
Like language.
Experiences. Exactly.
Absolutely. And you know, the other way it has to do with yoga, many, many, many ways.
Yeah.
And one that is right here for me is yoga is all about accessing a certain type of experience, which is that communion with the divine, that place of bliss, love, elation, contentment, joy, just all that good stuff. Yoga is about accessing that space. And language is a way to do that. And that's why Sanskrit and chanting and the bhakti practices are all just a whole style of yoga. It's to access that experience is just through verbal creation and then also movement and other things as well. But it's about, we can access that experience of communion with our language. I was just stabilizing and I bonked the microphone and then I was stabling. I'm under strict instructions to not
don't touch it.
Bonk the microphone.
There is
keep it still.
Yeah. The Stoic philosophers, or Stoic philosophy, I think it was like with the third Stoic, like main person, I forget what their name is. Anyways, with Chrysippus, he divided Stoic philosophy into three pillars, interrelated pillars. One of them is physics, which is simply like the description of things, just our world.
Science.
Yes. Then eventually it became actual physics, what we know it now. Then there is, oh my God, ethics. And it's not ethics.
Morals.
Not morals. It's not morality. It's more like dharma. Like, what is the purpose of these things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there is a dialect, which is, how do we describe that? You know, how do we put language to it?
Mm-hmm. Is that the third thing?
That's the third thing.
Oh.
Dialect.
Oh.
And I know, it's really cool because like what they say that the purpose of language, and there's this whole branch under Stoic philosophy or Stoicism that's called the philosophy of language. And all it does, the, you know, what they say that the ethics of language is, or the purpose of language, is to be able to describe reality, dreams, like emotions, the world around us, the different meanings of that. And the reason why it's so important is because that relationship and that attachment the language creates really does define your quality of life.
Yes.
And it can create a very specific quality of life. And so studying it and being really aware of it and understanding the purpose of it, of what is creating and what you want to create with it, is obviously huge.
I'm pretty sure like a lot of philosophies share that too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's in the Bible, that language. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can either curse someone or bless someone with language.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And essentially the Bible tells us that God has given us total authority and dominion over the earth through our word.
Mm-hmm. It's huge responsibility.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you something, Nance. And it was this.
I am so ready. I'm ready to catch it out of left field.
Speaking of Parks and Rec, I feel very purred happily right now. Okay. So, okay. When, give us a, I'd love to hear like a specific example from you so that, you know, listeners, you can relate to this in your own life. Like, when is the time in your life where you noticed you were saying something either out loud or in your head that was creating a not great experience for yourself, realized it, and then shifted your language and something totally new was created because you shift your language? You started saying different words.
I could think of so many examples. I can give three, and we can, if they take long, I'll just give one. Well, the first is when I wanted to open a yoga studio. I had there's no past evidence whatsoever that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, and if I looked around, I was like, I've got nothing. There's no way. I don't know enough. I don't have enough. I'm gonna. And I was like, there is just no way. And I knew it was part of my, I knew it was the thing for me to do. I knew it. There's that part of me that just knew. So it was very stressful for me to be in this place of lack. I can't. So people would be like, what are you doing? And I just started saying, I'm opening a yoga studio. And because I started saying it, I started doing it. And people are like, oh, you're opening a yoga studio. Do you have a spot yet? And I'm like, no. They're like, do you want to work with my real estate agent? Oh, you're opening a yoga studio? That's so cool. What's it going to be called? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I should name it. Right. So through the power of just putting it out there, this is what I'm doing, I started doing it. So the incorrect understanding of language is that it describes. The correct way to relate to language is that it creates. And I gave this example to you, Janon, or to a group of us that were together last week. As a small, I get so sick of saying the same thing. One thing I've discovered is that my circumstances, I have a lot more, there's a lot that I could say about this. So sometimes it's my circumstances can change, sometimes they can't, you know, the wisdom to know the difference, that whole thing. And often my circumstances are not going to change. I'm just going to change because I get so sick of what I'm saying. Like, you just have to realize that, like, if your circumstances aren't changing, you've got to say something different. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, we bought this new house January 2020, right before the pandemic, and we really took a leap in a stretch as far as what that was going to cost us financially. Pretty much double the size of our house, double the size of our mortgage, and then we own a business that people breathe closely together. So things took
for lack of better words, yes.
For the worst, if you know, if that's what even what you want to say. Things that I would not have preferred happened.
Yeah.
And up until just 2 weeks ago, I've been living in our house, and I have chosen not to spend any money on furniture because I want to be vigilant about the money that we're spending. So I've just been saying, like, and Justin, my husband, y'all, some of y'all know him. He's just like, he loves furniture. He's like, I love clothes. I love furniture. I want everything to be fancy. He's fancy. Mm-hmm. We'll just say he's fancy, and I love that about him.
He is fancy.
He's so fancy. And he wants to talk about it every day, the furniture we're going to buy for our house. And for 2 years, I was like, we don't have enough. It's not enough. We don't have enough. It's not enough. And finally, I just got so sick of that because it makes me feel so bad. And it felt like a fact. Like, it felt like a fact. We do not have enough money. We just cannot furnish or decorate this house or make it feel like home right now. A freaking fact. A fact. A fact. Like, I would have just been like, it is a fact.
Yeah, yeah. All the evidence.
Yeah.
You could just pull up your bank account and be like, look,
here's my bank account. Here's what you did. Here's how much I'm paying on my mortgage. Here's how much a new couch costs. Here's how much I'm bringing in right now. And finally, I'm just like, I am so sick of saying this. I'm just saying something different. So I just started saying, I've got everything I need to make my house a place that I want to live in that I love. So I just started rearranging our house, being resourceful, finding ways to find a little extra money here and there to do these little things. And it's just a completely different place to live. And that was 2 weeks ago. And now I'm like kind of unstoppable with it. I'm just like, let's just keep going and figuring. And then through making that change, I've realized the stories that I've been telling myself around my ability to impact my finances when I need to, like my personal finances when I'm, you know, committed to taking care of everyone else that works for us and like that. So I've been able to make some shifts for myself personally in the past few weeks that have made a really big difference as a result of shifting that narrative. So, and that's a million more examples.
Yeah, it happens pretty much every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day I go, oopsie, mm-hmm. I've been telling myself I can't.
Yeah.
And so guess what I've created? I created that I can't. I created that I can't do a 30-minute ride on the Peloton because the 20-minute ride is too hard.
Superstitions.
So one day I was like, I'll try. I just started with that word, I'll try.
Right.
And then I did it. I was like, oh, well, I can. I didn't like it, but I can.
Give yourself permission to try. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Now I can do a 45-minute ride.
Now you can.
You can.
And, you know, with the power of language with that, it's like if you ever find yourself saying I can't, just change it to I won't. It at least gives you your power back.
Yeah.
It at least will say, I won't do a 45-minute ride. At least you're being honest and not telling yourself that you can't, because you can. And even if this is the inquiry for us all to be responsible for as we consider whether or not we want to discover the power of language truly, is where do we stop believing that something's possible? Where do we let I can or it's not possible or that will never happen stop us? Because at some point it does. And what if we could keep speaking it into reality and leading our consciousness in a direction that would create something transformational through our language?
Mm. Oh, gosh. Sorry, careful, listeners. I just careful. Did what I'm not supposed to do. I smashed the mic. Yes. The last thing I want to say, because we're wrapping up the episode right now. Last thing I want to say, and y'all totally have more things to say them. What goes hand in hand with the power of language is our legacy and realizing, like, am I bringing something from the past forth into the present? Because, like, these are words that I learned. Like, this is the language I was raised in. Because language is all culture, too. Yes. Like, the English that we learn in America is American culture English.
Ooh, yes.
And it propagates our culture.
Yes.
Same in, like, I grew up also learning Arabic, and Arabic, like Sanskrit, is like we learn it to be able to memorize the Quran and understand what it says, what God says there. So, in terms of being able to choose what legacies I want to carry forward, what legacies I want to create newly, what I highly recommend is to sign up for Create Your Holidays Challenge.
Shameless plug.
Well, I like we were talking. It's going to be introduced in that program, which I'm participating in. I'm not a facilitator this time. I'm going to be just a eager
little student
in this training. And like this conversation that we're having about language, well, it directly affects how my next couple months is going to go. Like when I go to a Thanksgiving dinner, what am I going to recreate in my head that other people are saying? And then what am I going to choose to say? Mm-hmm. What legacies will I keep in terms of like how I talk about, you know, Christmas time? I just started celebrating Christmas, but, you know, or how I, if I'm not Christian, how then I talk about the holiday time. There's a lot of things that get said around this time of year. So yeah, listeners, whether you're in Houston or in Denver or somewhere around the United States,
or the
not
world.
Even the United States.
Yeah, in the world. Nancy's,
if you are a human.
Nancy's got a yoga studio called Big Power Yoga. It's the one that she created with her word.
Whoa.
The challenge is called Create Your Holidays, and we start the day after Thanksgiving.
Yay.
Yeah, come join us. It'll be super fun.
Yeah, it's only 50 smackaroos. Mm-hmm. Way less than you're probably going to spend on Christmas presents.
Yeah.
So true that.
Gift yourself with that. Let's create things
or
with word.
Or gift someone that.
Yeah, or gift it to somebody else.
That's a good present.
That's the thing that I wanted to say before we wrapped up the episode.
Well, the last thing I will say, and as I leave listeners also, definitely check out The Power of the Holidays and Creating Holidays. I forget what it's called.
Create Your Holidays.
There we go. Also, I would just leave you with this quote. Seneca once said, that through language, sometimes false things have the appearance of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Snaps mm-hmm. for Seneca. Whoa. I know.
That's deep.
Yep.
Word.
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 Thanks for listening, BYO Blanket listeners. We love you. Thank you, Nancy, for your time. For your words.
For your words.
Same to you. Thanks, yes. y'all.
You too, Edgar.
Edgar, what a cute little puppy.
We'll put a picture on our Instagram of this moment. Here, I'll take it right now.
Okay, take it right now.
In the meantime, y'all have a good rest of your day. Please follow us on the gram, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Review us on iTunes.
Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.